prays for something she can. America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9-1-1 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This 9-1-1, let us humble ourselves and pray. Seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Tomorrow is Labor Day, and although work is a four-letter word, it's not the four-letter word in the way that most people, when they say a four-letter word, are referring to. It's not a dirty four-letter word. One of the things that we will have, many people will be off work tomorrow. Some people will be on work, are working. Many of those who will be working will be making extra money tomorrow. For some people, you'll still be working, but you'll be working around the house doing the honey-do list or taking care of certain things that you need to take care of around the house. But we're going to look at the Bible and see what see what the Bible says about work, or some of what the Bible says about work, because it really is an exhaustive word. It's used in many places throughout the Bible. In fact, if you search for working, various variations of the word work, you will find over 700 references in the Bible. God even works, and we read about that from Psalm 8, where the creation is God's work. God even works in each one of us as well. One of the things many people believe that work, that if Adam hadn't sinned, that we wouldn't actually have to work, that we would actually be able to get our sustenance without working. But that's not true. God in the garden actually gave Adam his first job and gave him a task to work. And in Genesis chapter 2, beginning of we'll read verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it." So Adam's first job was to be a gardener. If you've ever had a garden, you'll know that it is work. Certainly God has created the power in the vegetables and the seed. It's amazing. You can plant a little seed, and it's amazing to see what shoots forth from that. It's also amazing that you can, with many plants, take clippings and put them in water, and roots will grow, and you can create a new plant out of an old plant. It's really amazing the power that God has given us. And certainly there's a lot more work to gardening today than there was prior to the fall. But that's really what happened. Prior to the fall, man still did work. Adam had a job. He was to keep the garden, but it wasn't quite as difficult. In fact, after the fall, you'll see one of the curses is that work is now more difficult. We read in Genesis chapter 3, after Eve had sinned and Adam sinned as well, in verses 17 through 19, we read this. "Then to Adam he," that is God, "said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And here we see some very key lessons and key principles. First of all, personal responsibility. Now, if you look at this passage and you read this chapter, one of the things you'll see is really probably the first instance of the blame game. You see that Eve sinned. She listened to the serpent and she sinned. And then she encouraged Adam to sin. And what happened was Adam pointed the finger at Eve and blamed Eve. And Eve pointed the finger at the serpent and blamed the serpent. But they were both personally responsible for their actions. And Adam carried even a greater responsibility because he was the man, he was the covenantal head. God has placed this authority and structure so that men actually have authority. And one of the things that you see in the Bible is that sin actually doesn't come through the woman, it comes through the man. So really, if Eve had sinned and Adam hadn't sinned, we could still be living potentially in the garden, and obviously no one would have to sin between that time, but we could potentially still be living in the garden today. And if that were the case, we probably would still know Adam because he would still be alive. But you know, God shows that Adam was responsible. And so this is something to realize. Even if your wife encourages you, husbands, even if your wife encourages you to do something that's wrong, something that doesn't turn out well, you're still responsible for the actions, and you're responsible for the results as well. So we see here that Adam had sinned, and because Adam had sinned, he says here that cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So prior to the fall, gardening would have been much easier than it is today. But after the fall, it was difficult. The ground was cursed. And it would require labor. It would require toil. It would require difficulty to bring fruit from the ground. In verse 18, we read, "Behold, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." So these, you would have thorns and thistles. You know, every time I step on a sand spur, I think about this concept that sand spurs probably wouldn't be around if it weren't for the fall. And boy, don't you hate it if you're walking with bare feet and you happen to step on one of those things? Boy, they really can hurt. Just imagine how much easier it would be without the fall. But there are consequences to sin. Sin has consequences, even the sin, this original sin of Adam. In verse 19, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So here we see this clear principle that it would be difficult to work. Work would be more difficult, and it would actually require even sweat. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of people today. In fact, if you go and you look on YouTube, you probably will see some videos, especially if you don't have ad blocking or you're not paying YouTube to not show you ads. You're going to see videos of people that are telling you about how you can make money with little work, without sweat, without having difficulty. And certainly there are certain types of jobs that may be more pleasurable and maybe maybe you won't sweat quite as much, but it's still a lot of work to actually get there. You know, you can look at the doctors and say, wow, you know, he has a really great job. He makes a lot of money. But then you're not really maybe thinking that he went to school for 10 years and studied hard to get the degree and to learn what he needed to learn to get in that place. And he does work very hard in his job as well. And anyone that is successful is going to have to work hard and be diligent in their work. And this is what the Bible says, that we actually need to be diligent. We need to actually work hard so that God can prosper us. And we go to Proverbs, and we'll see this several times in Proverbs. In fact, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, I can remember coming home from school and being tired and just going to sleep and taking naps and not really being very productive. And then my dad encouraged me to read through the book of Proverbs every month and through the book of Psalms every month. And I started doing that. And as I started reading the book of Proverbs and started reading as this passage, the verses that we're going to read today and other verses in Proverbs, it actually encouraged me to have a biblical work ethic, a solid work ethic where I was working and I was being diligent in my work as opposed to being lazy in my work. In Proverbs chapter 10, we'll read verses 1 through 5. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief of his mother. So we see here, first of all, wisdom. And of course, this isn't the first time that wisdom is mentioned in the book of Proverbs. You can see wisdom actually starting from Proverbs chapter 1. And you see that actually obtaining knowledge, obtaining wisdom, obtaining understanding, not just any type of knowledge, not just any type of wisdom. Certainly, there are some types of knowledge that would be better if you didn't have. If you have intricate knowledge of sin, for instance, and how you can commit sin and how you can violate God's commandments, that would be a knowledge that it would be better if you didn't have. But the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's word and wisdom and understanding of God's word, godly wisdom, these are good things, and these are something that we should strive for. And how do we get that? Well, by reading the word of God, by meditating on the word of God, by memorizing it, by keeping it and applying it to our lives, by asking God to help us to obey his word. And we see here that a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. In verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So here we see, before God starts talking about him, before Solomon starts talking about to his son about wealth, he actually starts talking about morals. He's talking about wisdom. He's talking about the foundations. He's talking about righteousness and wickedness. Though treasures of the wicked profit nothing. So even if Bill Gates or Elon Musk or anyone else that's out there, Warren Buffett, George Soros, all the people that are wealthy, even those that are in Congress now are wealthy. If they are wicked, their treasures will profit them nothing. It doesn't matter. In fact, the Bible even says, if you gain the whole world but lose your soul, what does it profit you? It doesn't profit you anything. So the treasures, even great treasures of the wicked, profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So being righteous, having God's righteousness, you know, God is able to preserve you and to keep you from death. You may recall the story of George Washington during the French Indian War. Years later, there was an Indian chief that came and met George Washington and told him that he wanted to meet the man that God had preserved his life, because he had told his men to fire on George Washington. And this was before the Revolutionary War. It was before America fought for our independence. And of course, we know that George Washington was the general. He was over the army. He was also our first president. You can imagine if he were killed in that battle, he wouldn't have been alive to lead our forces into battle against the English army, the British army. He also wouldn't have been around to be our first president. And we may not be sitting here in the United States of America today because the United States of America may not have existed. But in God's providential hand, as these Indians pointed their muskets toward George Washington and fired throughout the course of this battle, George Washington continued to stand up. He continued to sit on his horse. He continued to be alive. Their bullets didn't hit him. Finally, the Indian chief ordered his men to stop firing against him, because it was clear that God had a plan for him and that God was preserving him. And George Washington actually had pieces of bullets in his clothing and holes in his clothing where the bullets had actually hit, but didn't hit him. So God is capable of preserving you from death, even in a time where by all means you should be put to death. But even if he doesn't, even if God allows you to die, we know that we have a covenant. If we are righteous, we are righteous because the blood of Jesus has been applied to our sins. Our sins are forgiven, and we have been set free from those sins, and we are then bought with a price, that price of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are able and capable, and not because of our own righteousness, but because of his righteousness, we look forward at the end of this life to the beginning of the next life, which is an eternal life, where we will spend eternity with God himself, ruling and reigning with God, not because, again, of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know that if you died today, that you would go to heaven, you can repent of your sins, confess your sins before God, and you can ask him to forgive you of your sins and to wash your sins away by the blood of Jesus. And so we see here from this passage that righteousness delivers from death, so that even if you are put to death by someone that's wicked, even, or maybe in war you are put to death, you can will immediately, if your sins are forgiven, if your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will immediately go into eternity to be in the presence of God. And so even there you have deliverance from death, because the death of this body doesn't have any power over us when our sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he cast away the desire of the wicked. So here you see that God will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Now, one of the things that we need to realize is that God does show partiality. He does show preference based on whether we are keeping his commandments or not, based on whether we are obeying him or not. And also, one of the things that we have studied in the Bible is that God not only blesses individuals and curses individuals, but God also blesses nations and curses nations. So that if you are in a nation that is violating God's commandments and God's wrath is poured out on that nation, you will experience God's judgment. Just as Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were serving in Babylon and God promoted them in Babylon, but you have to realize they were serving in a foreign land. They were serving a foreign king, speaking a foreign language and serving in a foreign land. Now, even if you have the blessings of God being taken from your homeland to another country, being forced to learn another language and serve another king, would be traumatic. So they did have consequences, even though it's very clear from the book of Daniel that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were righteous people. They were obedient to God's commandments. And God did bless them even in that. You look at Joseph, the life of Joseph, and even when he was thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit, he was actually still blessed. God's favor was upon him. And one of the things that we can do, one of the things that we should do, is to always thank God. You know, when I was in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children from abortion, I remember, you know, being there in jail. I remember actually sometimes getting my meal and getting a tray of food. And when I was in Atlanta, they actually had a private company that had contracted to provide the food, and there was really little oversight about how much food they would provide you. And obviously, if they provide you less food, you know, it would make just a little bit of money to provide one inmate less food. But if they provide 1,000 inmates with less food, well, that can make a difference. That can impact their bottom line and make them more money. And I remember sometimes actually getting my tray, and the main course was spaghetti, and having about a table-sized portion of spaghetti as my main food. And certainly there could be a chance and an opportunity to complain and to murmur, but I thanked God for his provision. And I was always mindful that there are people in other parts of the world that actually have less. You know, in Cuba, in the country of Cuba, there are mothers this morning and mothers today that actually will be frying banana peels and feeding their children fried banana peels because they have nothing else to feed them. I mean, when you don't have quite as much as you want, just be thankful and remember how God's blessing is upon you. Even in the lack that you may have, God is still blessing and still providing and still keeping you and nourishing you. But we see here, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he cast away the desires of the wicked. In verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So he who has a slack hand, those who actually are not diligent in their work, will actually become poor. And this is something that you'll see throughout the Bible. And you'll see this throughout, definitely, in several places throughout Proverbs. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. So we see this contrast here. those who are slack, they have a slack hand, who aren't productive, who aren't hard workers, will become poor. But those who are diligent will become rich. Now, if you are, whether you are working for an employer or you have your own business, this is a vitally important lesson to learn. If you are slack, if you are lazy, if you are if you do just enough work, you know, one time I was working for a man with one of my friends, and my friend said, well, we don't want to work too hard because he's only paying us this much, so we don't want to work harder than what he's actually paying us to work. If that's your attitude, you'll probably never get to the place where you're making the money that you want to make. I worked one day also, one week when I was in college, I worked as a day laborer several days, one week. And I remember this one job where we were digging for a plumber at a house, and one of the guys that was, there was another guy there, and he said, don't work too fast, because if we work too fast, we'll work ourselves out of a job. That's the totally opposite thing that God tells you to do. God tells you to be diligent. And if we are diligent, if you are diligent, then your boss may give you a raise. And if your boss doesn't give you a raise, someone else may see your work and may give you a better offer to come and work for them. Or God may actually bless you to have your own business. And if you have your own business, boy, knowing how to be diligent with your work is vital, because you know what? No one will get on to you if you don't show up. No one will get on to you if you don't do what you need to do. But you know what? You'll lose customers. So we need to be diligent, to not be slack, and to this Labor Day realize that God rewards the hands of the diligent, even with prosperity and riches, but the hand of the slack, the lazy man, will come to poverty. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 911 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This 911, let us humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, so that he might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. It is our prayer that this message would bring deeper knowledge of the truth of God and a deeper walk with Jesus. While listening today, if you have questions or you'd like us to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. Today, we listen to the first message in a new series titled The Magnificence of Jesus. It is not an understatement to say that we could explore this topic forever and still barely scratch the surface. Even the greatest hymns, most astounding books, and most beautiful works of